It's time for the Cheap and Chaz Power Half Hour.
Welcome one, welcome all to the best and only fantasy podcast that focuses on our league of record. Chief, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Chaz. I am recording this about an hour and a half before I go see A Star Is Born. Very excited to see this.
Oh, that's the Bradley Cooper movie, right? With
It's the Lady Gaga
Lady Gaga movie.
It's the Lady Gaga movie that also has Bradley Cooper in it.
Okay, she's actually a fairly good actress. Kat watched her in American Horror Story and always was very fond of her.
Yeah, she looks like she could be a good actress. I have mixed emotions about this role because there's a Carol King movie that's sort of in development in Hollywood based on the musical, and I always thought Lady Gaga would make a great Carol King, but now I don't think she would ever do it because if she does another movie, I don't know that she's going to want to do another movie where she's singing.
Right.
So I'm a little bummed that she did this instead and not the Carol King thing, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, I hear you. Well, hopefully somebody else will come along and they'll be just as good.
Well, we'll see about that.
Yeah. All right. Well, why don't we start off? You know, we're 4 games in. And so we're, for all intents and purposes, we're basically a third of the way through the season. Right? Opinions have been formed. There's some teams that got to a hot start. You know, there are players that you thought were going to be great that aren't. There are players that you thought were going to be meh that have been great. And as you noted in your observations, this has basically been the year of the wide receiver so far, which is not surprising when you think
about it. And the quarterback.
The quarterback, because when you think about it, last year was so running back dominant, and naturally, that's the way the league always goes, is one year, running backs are really heavy, and so everybody goes heavy into that, and then it goes back the other way, it swung back the other way, so you were able to get a lot of wide receiver players that turned out to be very valuable for a little value, for a very low amount of money. So that's why we've sort of created some super teams as it happened. So what are your general thoughts on kind of where the league stands? I know you feel like we already basically have the playoffs locked in, even though we're only a third of the way through the season and a lot can still happen.
Yeah, I know a lot can still happen, but we have what did I say? There's 5 teams that 3-1 or better.
Yep.
And the thing is, I think, I think one of those teams, just based on, thank you, Joe Mancuso, for your stats, just based on league history, I think one of those teams probably misses the playoffs, but I don't see 2 missing the playoffs.
Okay.
And your division, your division leader, wide open. Shake it, 2-2, it's wide open. So to me, that's one spot. And you have, then you have all the other teams that are 3-1 or better, and those are 6 spots right there. So to me, I think that there's only really one playoff spot open the rest of the way here. And I noted that I thought it was Tim that is probably the weakest of that bunch, but even Tim's got a good team right now. Now, of course, a lot can happen, injuries, guys emerging, guys falling off. But you look up and down the teams that are 3-1, and I don't know who exactly you would peg, and maybe you have some thoughts on this, who exactly you would peg to fall off. And it's hard to say that because they played so well. It's hard to see that far into the future, but maybe you have some thoughts on who you think might be the weakest of that bunch.
Well, it's a good question. And for me, at this point in the year, I start to look at how our team's performing in terms of what they're scoring and what they're scoring against, right? Because we can start to see what teams are actually good and they've just kind of had bad luck in terms of their scheduling. I think obviously Gelch is one of those ones that stands out where he's scored right now. He's like top 6 in terms of scoring, but he's also top 6 in terms of points against. So he just had a harder schedule, which is what's led him to be 1-3. Whereas if you compare him to myself or Ryan or Kat, where the three of us have scored in the 300s and what we've had, we've all had lower points against us with the exception of Kat who's had slightly more, but Gelch has had out of all of the worst teams, he's had the most points scored against him. So it's just bad luck for him. I think if I had to pick a team that I think is going to fall off, my pick is going to be Tim. I look at what Joe's been doing. I look at what both Joe's been doing. They've been putting up massive amounts of points. I think Tim's had the flip side where he's actually had a little bit of a lucky schedule where he's actually had he has one of the lowest points against. So I think for him, it's just been scheduling favoritism for the time being. And I think he's going to drop off. Well, I think he's going to end up closer to 500. And with you, it's a similar thing where you've scored almost similar amounts of points to where Tim is, but you've been scored about an extra 10 points more a game against you. And so that's why I think that's why there's only a difference between 3-1 and 2-2 between the two of you. So I think he's going to drop off. I think you're fine. Obviously Kat, unless something turns around, is really scratching and clawing here. And I'm just very thankful that I'm in a division where if I can get Bell back by like week 7, and David Johnson all of a sudden starts doing a little more.
And you're still only maybe a game out of first by the time.
Exactly.
Bell gets
back. I wouldn't surprise me if our division is finished with a 6-7 or 7-6 team. That might happen this year.
It could. The way the schedule plays out with all the interdivisional games, towards the end of the season, we'll see how just the sheer numbers of that play out. I do think one team to keep an eye on, though, and this tends to fantasy football has wild swings from week to week. And I think that this person's team didn't look great two, three weeks ago. But I think all of a sudden now he's getting back a little healthy. He's got some of his bench that has emerged a little bit. I think I'm talking about Ryan's team. I think Ryan's team, Freeman's back healthy. Sonny Michel could be, a top 15, 20-ish running back the rest of the way. Corey Davis is coming on. And if Gronk ever gets back to – he's got Edelman back in the lineup tonight, by the way.
Which is their first time playing together in the same game since, like, mid-2016.
Edelman and Gronk?
Yes, first time they've played together in almost two seasons.
What a stat. Yep. So I do think that Ryan's team is more formidable than it was a while ago. I mean, he's playing Joe Mancuso this week, and if you fall to 1-4, I mean, it's a steep hole, but if it's your division though. So, exactly. 1-4 might only be two games out by the end of the weekend. So who knows?
Yep. Yeah. Very good point. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's turn our attention to the matchups. Obviously we're recording this, the Thursday night game's kicked off. So, I'm already looking at my matchup, and I'm already down 7 points because Tom Brady's throwing a touchdown and Eric Ebron's doing shit. So, it's unfortunate for me that Adrian Peterson has been better than I thought he would be. I thought at this point he would already have lost his legs. I think the bye week this early will help him stay afloat a little longer. I still believe by midseason to the end of the season, I think he's just going to go downhill. But obviously, McCaffrey's a top 12 back at this point. AJ Green's been nothing but solid. Landry with the loss of Gordon is going to see more targets. Ridley has come out of nowhere. I mean, that's a phenomenal pick. I mean, I think I participate in a couple of dynasty drafts, and Ridley was consistently like the 5th, 6th, 7th wide receiver ranked. And that's just always the way it goes, right? You never know who it's going to be. What blows my mind is he has like 6 touchdowns in 3 games, and that's more touchdowns than Julio's had in the past like 29 games, something like that. Like, he's produced more touchdowns than Julio has. So at this point, it's one of those things where I know Julio is not always a big touchdown scorer, but to me, I'm seeing a real passing of the torch right now.
I don't know if I'd say a passing of the torch, but I think it's back to a situation where Atlanta has two viable fantasy wide receivers. It's back to the Roddy White days when Roddy White was, when Julio was just in the league and Roddy White was still there. We're kind of back to that now where it's like, oh, Atlanta has two viable pass catchers now. Last week was it's crazy to look at his touchdown numbers. I mean, he went 4 for 54 last week, but two of them went for touchdowns. Like,
yep.
I didn't see the game. I haven't watched it. I don't know if they're specifically scheming for him in the end zone or if it's just a matter of teams, doubling Julio around the goal line so everybody else is in single coverage or what. But I wonder how much of that actually does keep up because it is such a touchdown-dependent scoring right now.
Yep, that's a good point. You know, obviously, I expected Ryan to be throwing more touchdowns this year, coming back towards the mean, you know, that regression towards the mean. We talked about that in the preseason. It just kind of confluence of events. You know, I had looked at when I was doing my whole value thing of like, you know, I think there are valuable wide receivers. I ended up grabbing two rookie wide receivers in DJ Moore and Michael Gallup. Calvin Ridley was the third guy that I would have targeted if I hadn't gotten one of those two. I just didn't get him. So it's just the luck of the draw. But, you know, Tim's got a very solid team right now. And he's obviously – I think he can clearly take – unless Christian – if McCaffrey and Peterson tank this week and Johnson and Elliott go off, I think I'll get the win. But other than that, I have no chance of winning.
I don't see McCaffrey tanking. I think Peterson could, if you never know, especially if that game turns into a shootout and they have to go, you know, up-tempo with Chris Thompson instead of Peterson. That's a possibility in terms of game flow, but as I wrote my observations, Chaz, I said, you know, this, your strategy could have paid off so hugely this year, if a couple things had gone differently for you, if you had gotten some of the cheap receivers that you were targeting, you know, if you had gotten, you know, Gurley instead of Bell, or, you know, Kamara instead of Johnson. Like, man, like, to think about that strategy, but just with a slightly different personnel on each end of it, you could be putting up like 180 points a week or something like that. It's crazy to think about that. Oh, man.
Take big shots, take big risks, right?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly, yeah.
Miss 100% of the shots you don't take, Michael Gretzky, Michael Scott.
Michael Scott, Wayne Gretzky, yes.
Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott. Okay, all right, let's move on. So it makes me super pleased that Gelch is 1-3, and it makes me even more pleased. Yes, I appreciate it. I am very appreciative to you, and it makes me even more happy that he's playing our 4-0 league leader right now this week. So the thought of looking at Gelch going 1-4, and if I can steal away from Tim and be better than him, even though Gelch's team is technically better than mine, just fills my heart with joy.
I'm a little miffed that Gelch has decided to stick with Chris Hogan in his lineup. Mm-hmm. Don't know why. Because Hogan has done nothing, plus Edelman is back.
I would have thrown Nelson in there, given, you know, I wrote Jordy Nelson off before the season. And there was even a trade offer that he had made me, like after the first week, for swapping Johnson. And it was like, he would give me Connor, I think Royce Freeman and Jordy Nelson for DJ and somebody. And I scoffed at Jordy Nelson. I am very surprised he's not in his lineup. And who knows, if we get this podcast out in time, which we will, because I'm going to be prompt, he might end up changing his mind and putting in and subbing in Nelson for Hogan. That's what I would do.
Yeah,
or Mike Williams. I'd be fine with either of those plays.
Well, no. Like, Hogan is playing right now, Chaz.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah. He can't. He's screwed. He's locked.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he officially went with them this week, and of course he's got 0 points through the first quarter.
That's great.
So yeah, and Gelch is also doing the thing where he keeps 7 position players on his bench and doesn't pick up a defense this week. So
I'm gonna try and make him pay for that.
Alert to the league that Gelch currently doesn't have a defense at the moment.
When does he currently? When does he usually try and grab Sunday or
he'll try to grab it probably late Sunday, or the last waivers that process, which is Sunday right before the game start, and then he'll throw one of his players back out so that nobody could pick them up off of waivers again until next Wednesday. That's the strategy, then has another chance of picking that player back up off of waivers.
I wonder how many teams he puts on waiver claims for defenses just to ensure that he gets one.
Well, I mean, if you got a free roster spot, Chaz, go for it. I'm not going to go for it, but you can go for it if you want to.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on this matchup? Opponent. That's true.
I mean, Mike is a solid favorite here. You know, as long as his team has a solid week, I think it's going to be tough for Gelch to overcome it. Even though Gelch has capabilities of putting up big numbers, Watson certainly looked like the Deshaun Watson pre-ACL injury last year. So maybe he's getting back into form, but Mike's got Cam. He's got Gurley. Mike's got an answer for almost everybody in Gelch's lineup. Gelch has hung his hat on Gordon all year, but, you know, Mike can match him with Gurley.
Yep, and don't forget, Mike suffered the loss of McKinnon. So Mike's Mike's produced 4-0 despite losing a despite major
losing a major piece. Yeah,
piece. So he's Mike he's
has
done
Mike
well.
Has gotten the best of this James White trade because James White Mike, Mike really is the good for him.
That's very true. Mike is the fantasy ninja.
Yep, he absolutely is.
All right, so let's talk about your matchup versus what I consider the fantasy darlings of this year in the party groupers.
Yeah,
They've just been sneakily good. Well, I just mean
weeks.
The sense of like I didn't think that they would be this good. I would have pegged them at 2-2, but they're performing.
Yes,
by far. So I mean, what are your feelings on your matchup?
I think it's 50-50. I'm projected to win fairly handily, actually, if you look at the projections, but I'm not so sure about that. I think they're over projecting Beckham for a big day. I'm catching them on a good week. Cohen's on a bye after his big week last week, and Mike Evans is on a bye. Plus Randall Cobb is banged up. So I'm catching them at a good week. They're having to throw in Jamison Crowder, and interestingly, Tyrell Williams is in their flex and not Dalvin Cook. I'm wondering
there might
that,
be a question
I'm
mark there for if he's gonna be fully healthy to play that game.
That's true, and he didn't play well in that shootout against the Rams last week, so maybe they're just waiting and seeing. So we'll see. This is probably going to be a matchup that gets decided Monday night, which I hate because they have Breeze and Jamison Crowder in there. Mm-hmm. I feel like my team is okay.
You basically at this point are the opposite of me in that I went big on running backs with the thought of I could make buying wide receivers. You made a big splashy trade where, you know, obviously the Fournette injury bug has hurt you, but now you've got two massive wide receivers in Hopkins, and obviously we hope OBJ gets back into form. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, in 2016, he had a very similar stat line to the first four games. He had, like, zero touchdowns. He only had, like, 74 yards averaging receptions, and then he blew up. So it's entirely possible that it could repeat, and all of a sudden he starts getting his. So don't forget about that. One of the things I really like is that you've stuck with George Kittle, who actually, and I don't know if people know this, you might have thought, oh, with Jimmy Garoppolo gone, Kittle's going to – but
nope.
No, actually, Kittle's been actually better with C.J. Beathard throwing
Beathard
to
likes than, Beathard likes Kittle. Well, they're college teammates, and even last – even, like, towards the end of Beathard's run last year before Garoppolo took over, like, Kittle – he and Kittle were really – they had a good thing going there for a little while. Mm-hmm. And so I stuck with Kittle last – also, just because I looked at the waiver wire and I'm like, I don't, there's nobody at tight end that I want. I picked up Eifert, but I didn't trust Eifert, at least the first week I had him. And I was just like, I'm just going to roll with Kittle. And, you know, having watched Kittle and the 49ers, I said, I'm just going to see if Beathard throws to him a bunch. And he did. And, you know, Kittle leads the team in receiving yards and targets. So I'm going to roll with him. I feel like he's a decent tight end to have in a year where tight end is not great.
Yep, and I think Andy Dalton, the Red Rocket, is going to be fine against Miami. I think Yeldon obviously is going to get the majority of the work against Kansas City, and obviously Buck Allen, even though he's not the starter, Brian Collins, he just gets some work and he always produces. So I think you're in a good position this week. I would give you the nod.
I think I'm okay too, but you know, I look at their team and you know. Carlos Hyde has been sneakily very good for the first 4 weeks of the season. And Breeze scares me because we're in a weird year for quarterbacks and we're seeing quarterbacks put up 30 to 40 points like it's nothing.
Yep.
And so I'm a little concerned about Drew Breeze on Monday night going for like 35, 40 points, whereas Dalton might go for 15 to 20, you know? And so that is the part of my matchup that concerns me.
Yep, I think that's a fair point. Breeze is at home, and Washington defense isn't anything scary. So, I mean, it could be more of a toss-up, but I still give you the nod. Moving on to the next matchup, I got Jake and Kat. Jake's had some really great waiver pickups in Breda.
He's really – and he always does that. He always is good on the waiver wire.
He also grabbed – Mahomes was waiver wire pickup for him as well, right?
I think he drafted.
Or did he draft? I'm not sure. I feel like he was a waiver wire pickup.
I think he drafted him, though. I have to go back and look. I'm pretty sure okay. He ended up with Luck and Mahomes out of the draft.
Okay, that could be. But either way, I mean, obviously, he's got, you know, Showtime Mahomes. I hate that nickname.
Such a terrible nickname.
But he goes up against Jacksonville, so I think we're going to see another big test with him. You know, it's funny because Jake's team's actually pretty decent. He's benefited from Coleman being the guy with Freeman out while Mixon's recovered.
So we'll see what happens there. Yeah.
Hooper, all of a sudden, you know, we all wrote him off, but Hooper has been, for a tight end, they, you know, you need a couple points every week, he's getting it for you. So I like Jake's team. I think for Kat, it's really going to be she needs Brown to have one of his like blowout games where he catches like 180 yards for two touchdowns. She needs one of those types of games to get over the hump and get her first win. It'd be great if it came against Jake because they're in the same division. No? Yes.
Yes.
They're not. Well, no, sorry. Jake is
no,
in my
not.
Division.
Yeah, Jake is in your division.
Sorry, yeah, they're not in the same division, but Jake is in my division, so that's why I would love for Cal to get a win this week.
Yes, yes. Yeah, we'll see how this plays out with the carries in Atlanta. I don't know, you know, if they're going to ease Freeman back in. They didn't do that last year when he came back from injury. He was pretty much getting all the carries, but I'm not 100% sure how that split is going to go. Cause I think Coleman has played well in Freeman's absence. With Kat, it's man, Alex Collins needs to do something for her. And McCoy needs to do something for her. Mm-hmm. Otherwise I feel like she's going to struggle again. I don't know. I don't like Hunt's matchup against the Jaguars. I don't know. She's got a shot, but I still like Jake's team to pull this off.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is, you know, most of her team will be finished. And so will his team, with the exception of Michael Thomas versus Alex Smith. So conceivably those guys might put up similar numbers, given quarterback tend to score more. So if the game is close, that could end up being a tie watch game going into Monday night.
Could be. Yeah. We'll see how healthy Matt Breida is as well.
True.
Not sure how banged up he is.
Yeah. Next up, we have Beanpole Prime, Joe Mancuso versus Ryan. What are your thoughts on this one? This game's already in progress, and it's already, as it stands right now, it's Mancuso up 15 with the Patriots defense to 10.5. With three of Ryan's players playing, so
yeah,
he really needs some
he
of those
really
players
needs,
to score.
He needs a Patriots blowout.
I mean, he's got three Patriots right now, all in the game.
I mean,
and
it's
would be
insane for Gelchin. Yes,
yeah, it'd be insane if he leaves this game with only like one of them getting a touchdown. Oh, and Tom Brady just had a 1 yard run.
Yep.
Oh, 1 yard touchdown run. So yeah, he needs some of those guys. Otherwise, he's got no shot this week.
Yeah, that's disconcerting if you're Ryan. You have three guys on the field that Brady could either hand it off to or throw to, and he decides to run it in. just brutal luck. Like I said before, I think Ryan's team is rounding into form of all the teams that are that are at the 1-3 level. I Gelchin, you know, Matt Gelchin is his team is all right, but. Or all the teams at the I wouldn't even include the 2-2 level. His has the most upshot, I think, to improve.
Yeah.
So, but man, tonight so far just isn't going his way. We'll see how it goes the rest of the night. But going forward, I do like his team. But I just don't know if he's going to have the firepower now this week to take on Joe.
I don't think anybody. I mean, I could see Joe reeling off the remaining victory. I mean, he is by far, there's nobody on his team that I wouldn't take on my team right now. His entire team is deep.
He's deep. I still give the nod to Joe O'Brien as best team in the league.
I will give it to you in terms of firepower with Hill, Thielen and Schuster. But you know, they haven't played each other, right?
Well, yep. You're right. No, they haven't.
I'm looking forward to that matchup
later in the year. But I like Joe O'Brien's team top end. Joe Mancuso has the deepest team. I agree with you there. But man, if Kamara and Tyreek Hill, you know, do their thing, like there's nobody that's going to stop Joe O'Brien.
Yep.
As long as they're healthy and if they perform like they have the last few weeks, like they're ridiculous. But those guys alone could net you 50 to 60 points within a blink of an eye. And that's tough to beat.
Yeah, and you know, because I'm looking at this matchup now with O'Brien and Johnny, and you know, Johnny's team is a good team. He's got Bortles, who's consistently solid. He's got Barkley. Lynch has been sneakily very.
Lynch has been very useful. Yeah.
You know, Marvin Jones is decent. Tyler Boyd's come on strong. Jared Cook, you know, had a 2-touchdown game. Obviously, he gets Mark Ingram back this week. But it's just like I look at that and go, "Hey, he's got a good lineup." And I look at Joe and I go, "There's he needs basically Johnny needs all of Joe's players or like half of his players to have dud games to have a shot." I feel like,
yeah,
because I just Hill obviously touches the ball and he's gone. Kamara is the same thing. Thielen is so incredibly consistent. I called Thielen out this year in preseason multiple times.
You did.
Remember I talked about how he hated the 80% success against all coverages last year?
Yep.
So it does not surprise me one bit that Thielen's taken on. Obviously, Diggs has the higher top end game, but Thielen is going to give you 15, I feel like 15 baseline points every week no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we can end up being a Mancuso.
The Vikings passing game has been better than I had anticipated, so I was wrong there.
So this is going to end up just being
overall, like, you know, we're looking at these matchups, and it's the second straight week where these teams at the top are facing these teams at the bottom. Like, it's weird how this has happened, and if the chalk advances this week. I mean, the league is almost essentially over except for your division. Like, if all these 3-1 teams and Mike go to 4-1 and 5-0, like, it's going to be really hard for any other team in the other two divisions that's not in your division to crack the playoffs. Like, I think at that point, those five teams are almost locks. I mean, they're almost locks right now, but they practically locks to make the playoffs. I have to – maybe I can knock off Goop to make that interesting. Maybe, you know, maybe Gelch gives Mike a run for his money somehow. I think I have the best shot of knocking off a 3-1 team this week because all the other matchups, I think it's going to be hard for people to do that.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think it's one of those. It's just one of those years where things may get decided and maybe decided early. You know, usually there's a lot more. The teams are a lot more even through the first third of the season. But Joe will need to go back and fact check this. But I don't know if we've ever seen this much disparity between top end teams and low end teams, both in terms of scoring and in terms of the record. So you're right. I mean, we could be in another 2 weeks, which right would give us basically halfway through the season. Let's say through week 7, through rivalry week, we could basically have all but one spot decided officially through rivalry week.
And that's gonna. I think the consequences of that is that it'll lessen the trade market because I think in some ways if every team is kind of coasting along into the playoffs, you know, then I think maybe not, because your division is still going to be up for grabs. So maybe there'll be some teams in your division that are looking to trade and get in the playoffs. But otherwise, like if I'm sitting here in 2 weeks and I'm at 2-4 and everybody else is like 2 or 3 games ahead of me in the playoffs, well, what am I going to do? You know, it's going to be tough to justify making a deal or, you know, really going for it and potentially handing somebody a championship by making a lopsided trade.
Yeah, I mean that's fair. I think for me, I'm kind of waiting till through. I need to see what happens with Bell if he does report. Was it at week 7 or so?
Yeah.
Has been reported. Then I probably won't do very much. If he doesn't, and then all of a sudden that means he's not reporting until week 10. I probably would look to trade him that week to somebody who's probably going to make playoffs because I would need some additional players to hopefully get me into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that person's making a trade where they're saying, hey, you know what? I'm more or less in the playoffs. Let me make a trade that's going to be a really great player with incredibly fresh legs going into playoffs and see if they can roll. But that's a chance I'm willing to take because I just want to make playoffs.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. There's a lot to be determined. So, I think this was I'm glad we got to reconvene this week. We missed you last week. I don't know how many people actually listened to it. Only like 2 people commented,
Yeah, just me and Joe. So, yeah.
So if you didn't listen to last week's episode, please go back and listen. It was a great episode, even though I did miss Chief. But I had a great time making that episode. But Chief, thanks so much for being back. Any final thoughts before we break this week?
I will have my thoughts posted in the WhatsApp chat on A Star Is Born tomorrow, so look forward to that.
Okay. Well, enjoy the movie, and everyone, please remember to rate, subscribe, leave us reviews. Don't forget you can use the Anchor app to call and leave us voicemails, and we'll see you next time on the Chief and Chaz Power Half Hour.